All right, as you find your seat, I appreciate you turning over to Ephesians chapter 3 one last time. This is our last time over here in this particular prayer of the Apostle Paul, and he knew what to pray for, and God recorded his prayers in the Scriptures. There are certain individuals that as they prayed or as they praised the Lord, God recorded them, and we've got something to learn tonight from their prayer life. And here he is, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened." And here's the first prayer request: to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And so my focus in my prayer life, it shouldn't necessarily be on my tires. Oh God, I need a new set of tires. God's not ashamed for me to come before him. But you know what? If I haven't prayed about my spiritual life and the spiritual lives of those I love, and I've prayed about all their physical needs, the things I can see, I'm probably missing the point. And so that they would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that the Lord talking about dwell, settle down there, be comfortable, be secure. And what makes God's Holy Spirit, where he's not grieved or quenched in my heart? Well, when I trust him, faith. And so whatever battle right now, God, and we saw it Sunday, the Lord puts our faith to the test. It wouldn't be faith if it didn't get put to the test. And you wouldn't want to go over a bridge that somebody professionally had not tested that bridge to make sure it worked. And God is putting our faith to the test. He doesn't want hot air. He wants reality. He knows what's in our heart, but we need to know the state of our faith. And it says that ye being rooted and grounded in love. What a great picture. I sure enjoyed that. We could go back over there tonight, spend the whole time right there. But rooted like a tree, reaching down into that soil deep to pull out the moisture that it needs, to pull out the minerals. And tonight, you'll not be healthy spiritually unless you daily can put your roots down deep in the truths of God's Word that teach that God loves you and understand his love. If you're going to listen to the lies of the devil, you will be a spiritual pygmy. But you've got to put your roots deep in those. And if you are, I tell you, the storms, when they come, you'll survive them. I mean, the branches may come loose, the leaves may get blown off, but you'll survive. And then the rooted and grounded, that's the foundation. And that foundation is on doctrinal truth, not my feelings. How could the Lord love me if he has let this happen in my life right now? It's not fair. The timing is terrible. How could God do that? Well, listen, it's not my feelings. It's not the suggestions of the devil and folks that are carnal believers who say all kinds of crazy things that have nothing to do with what God has said in his Word. It's putting my belief in his love for me on the great truths of the Bible. They are unchanging. And so I need to pray for folks. I need to pray for new believers that they'll quickly get grounded in the fundamental doctrines of the Bible concerning the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they'll learn to put their roots deep every day to draw sustenance from it for their spiritual lives, their emotions, and their attitudes from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, when somebody knows that they're loved, that God made us to, we just open up like a flower when, just like the flower gets the sun, but that sun is an understanding of the love of God for us, and we just open up. That old illustration, you've heard it before, I've used it on a number of occasions, the Nazis in their children's homes trying to raise the master race, and, some of the babies would get attention, and some of them would got no more attention than simply being cleaned up when they soiled themselves, or fed, or burped, the very basic of care, health. And others of them, I don't know if it's because they were cute, convenient, or what, but the nurses would pick them up and would walk around and tend to the other children. The ones that just got the basic care, many of them died. and they couldn't explain it. I mean, they're getting food, they're getting the right things that they need, and they're being cared for. They're not, you know, they're getting medicine, they're getting everything. They're dying. Why is that? And it's because those babies didn't have any sense. I mean, that, you know, God just made us that way, of any love of any other human being. But the most important love, it's going to make you a healthy human being, is that understanding of comprehending the love of Christ, the love of God for us in Jesus Christ. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And remember, the fullness of God is the ultimate purpose that God designed you and I for. And, you know, He has given us different spiritual gifts. He's made us male and female. He's also given us different abilities and talents, and our lives cross at these moments and time. And God has a reason and to experience the fullness of God. And we ought to pray for these young people coming up. Oh, Lord, help them to find your will and to do it with all their hearts and to be everything you designed them to be, just as Jesus Christ was the only human being on this planet. He was God in flesh, but he was a human being, the only one who fully pleased the Father and did perfectly the will of God. But God is busily, it's called sanctification, making us like his Son, Jesus Christ. And then verse 20 and 21, this is the simple things we want to look at tonight. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And so the closing of his prayer, he gives one of the great doxologies of all times. I'm just going to go as fast as I can here. Will you notice number one in verse 20? There is a confidence that comes out of the heart and mind of the Apostle Paul. Now unto him that is able. He doesn't say it's possible, it might happen. No, he says he's able. I'm confident in his ability. And if you'll notice on your sheet on the back of your prayer bulletin, you've got a little outline. It might help you if you turn there, especially during time change week. But the first thing there about this confidence is we want to get an understanding of the power of God. What's he talking about here when he says the power that worketh in us? We're talking about the power of God. And what is that? Well, it's three things in this definition. Number one, the power of God is the Lord exerting force. You know, there's 185,000 Assyrians camped outside of Jerusalem, and God calls them to go away. And the Lord exerted force. A Gideon had 300 men, and he went against the Midianites, who had more than could be numbered. We couldn't even get a number for the Bible. You know, there were so many. I'm sure God could if he'd chosen to, but we don't have a number. They're like sands of the sea. And you know what? The 300 with Gideon, they never fired a shot. They just shouted the sword of the Lord in Gideon and broke their pitcher, and the light that was in the pitcher shone out. And the Midianites thought that they were surrounded, and they started falling on each other and killing one another. The Lord exerted force. And so his power is an exertion of force. It's also an exertion of influence. I love that when Lydia, who was a very wealthy lady, she was a seller of purple, and she was there in Philippi, and she happens to see some action over there by the riverside. Some people are singing, and there's preaching and praying, and she goes over to investigate. And she hears the gospel, and the Bible says her heart was opened. How does God do that? How does he open the hearts of human beings? I don't know. It's hard for me to explain. But I do understand that God has that power. And if you have a lost loved one, I have lost loved ones I prayed for today, and I prayed that their hearts would be open. You'd be wise to pray that God would exert that power on them and open their hearts. There's a third issue, and that is, the power of God is the exertion of his authority. The Lord has an authority. Let me get you to go to Jeremiah 18 and verse number 6. Jeremiah 18 and verse number 6. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn the fan on to circulate air just a little bit. And we're still pretty good over here. So, but that'll help circulate air a little bit. And the air won't be so still. Here in Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse number 6, the Lord talks about his authority, and he says this, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." Down to verse 7, it'd be wise for America to think about this. I don't know about you, but I see almost every day a tremendous attack upon our form of government. It's happening from within, a disregarding of laws and constitution, a desire simply to seize and possess and keep power. Has caused people to actually take apart the Constitution and turn it inside out. And it'd be good for us to know this, so as a nation, you know, when a nation kills millions of its unborn, I mean, we would think that in horror if we heard of another place in this world where there was human sacrifice, where people took young people and they, just like they did in the days of the Incas and those kind of folks that had human sacrifice and split open their chest and pull their heart out and hold it up to their God, and bloody and awful and terrible and people shouting and getting into a frenzy. And we'd say, that's heathen, that's bizarre. And yet we live in a nation that has offered to an idol, the idol of self, unborn children in the millions as a nation since the 1970s, and Roe birth is weighed. And so the Lord says to us, I think as well, Jeremiah 18, verse 7, "At what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil I thought to do unto them." But the Lord says, hey, I'm the potter, you're the clay, and I have the right, I have the power to do what I will. Thankful for those that respect that power. We looked at Job in Sunday school a couple of weeks ago, and Job said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He humbled himself. He understood that at the end of the day that God had a right to all of the things that he took from Job, that he was a temporary steward of those, and that God had taken those from him. And so Jeremiah 18:6, he does exert authority. How does God prepare our hearts to understand his power? You're in Jeremiah. Would you go to Jeremiah 32? And verse number 17, one of the ways that God has prepared our hearts to respect and to understand his mighty power and is in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17, and that is in creation. The amazing creation in which we live, and to see it, the seasons change, to see how God takes a tree and it lasts hundreds of years, and to see how that inside of that universe there is another universe that I can't even see, and it's ordered. And this is what the Lord said, Jeremiah 32:17. "Oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." And so the Lord, he has revealed his power in creation. Go over to Romans 1, verse 20. "The Lord intended for people that never saw a track, no one ever witnessed to and said, hey, buddy, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? No one ever talked to him. And in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, he intended for creation to not lead someone to Christ, but to open their heart just like he opened Lydia's heart. To look and say, there's got to be a God. You know, I look at a computer and I think that thing didn't evolve. Someone planned all of that. Someone put all of this together. And that's why it works. And here we are on a planet that is beyond our comprehension. Wherever we go, incredible beauty. And in Romans 1, verse 20, the Lord says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So the Lord has designed creation to show His mighty power, to bring men to their knees, to cry out and said, to say, oh God, I want to know You. And I love the illustration. But whenever I see Brother Frey, I always say, hey, Brother Frey, I appreciate you telling us about your mama who got saved out in the Northwest there with her family. They were all, you know, they didn't believe in God. They didn't believe in religion. They didn't go to church. And they were just out hiking in those beautiful mountains. And she hit a vista. And she said, as a young 18-year-old girl, there's got to be a God. I sure would like to know Him. And then within just a matter of a week or two, where she worked, as she was trying to plan her future, where am I going to go to college? What am I going to be? A man witnessed to her, led her to Christ. And how did that start? By the power of God, Romans 1:20 in creation. There's something else. It's not just creation. It's also judgment. I mean, every so often, God just lowers the boom. And He lowered the boom on this earth. He buried it under water that reached up over the highest mountain. This whole globe was covered. Its whole topography was changed because of that flood. That's why it looks the way it does today. That's why the mountains are where they are and where the Grand Canyon is. And God did that. He judged the whole earth. It's meant to bring fear to our hearts because that's where wisdom is. Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He judged Sodom. Well, He rained down fire from heaven and destroyed Sodom. He judged Israel. You know, the Lord talks about, you know, and sometimes I'll come across those scriptures in the Bible that talk about that people, when they think of Israel, they'll think, you know, what went wrong there? How could that be God's chosen people? And 6 million of them die in World War II. I mean, how can that be? How can it wasn't just in World War II. There's always been a persecution of the Jewish people. How can that be? And, well, you know, the Lord tells us, you know what, to whom much is given, much is required. God placed so much in those people. They were God's chosen people. He's not finished with them yet. Romans 11 describes that. And God is going to fulfill His Abrahamic and Mosaic and Davidic covenants with Abraham, Moses, and David. He's going to fulfill those covenants. But you know what? What we see among the Jewish people tonight, there, you know, Iran is supposed to be ramping up their nuclear program. I don't know if it's a bluff. I don't know. But you know, if they could, they would. And the Israeli folks, they know that. And when they get to a certain point, they're going to go in there and destroy that no matter what. And, I mean, they're going to preserve their people. Why such hatred for them? God said it'd be that way. Well, the Lord brought His Son through them. Romans talks about them having charge over the oracles of God. God allowed them to be the ones who wrote, the Scriptures. God used them under His inspiration. And then they were the ones that helped be a part of His preservation, the copyists who copied it and made those parchments. And didn't it affect them as they wrote it? No. And did they disobey God? And was God angry? Yes. And so He exerted His power. And every time you see and hear of something in history that goes against Israel, goes against the Jews, you just be reminded God said it would be that way in His Word. And He says it in Leviticus. He says it in Deuteronomy. He says it in Ezekiel. And it's not just creation and judgment where God shows His power. One of my favorite things is when people get saved. When you think of the Apostle Paul, who was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, he lived to put Christians in jail. And then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he became a different man. He loved Jesus Christ with all of his heart. He didn't count his life dear. He wanted it invested for Jesus Christ. And however God chose to use it, that was great. And if the Lord put him in prison in Philippi, we're going to have a prayer meeting and sing. I don't know what God's doing. He's doing something great for His glory. He's going to get some folks saved around here. I don't know how it's going to happen. And suddenly the midnight hour, the Philippian jailers falling in their cell. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And people changed by salvation. One of my two other favorite, one is the maniac of Gadara, who shook that community. They knew he was a guy who cut himself. He ran around with the chains. You know, they couldn't chain him, and he would break the chains, but he ran around with those chains hanging off of him. He was unclothed. And then when Jesus cast the demons out, he got saved. And he's sitting there clothed in his right mind, having a wonderful conversation about heaven with Jesus and all the questions that he ever had. And then the crowd comes and they say, listen, we best get you out of here. You need to go into another community. We don't want you here. We don't want any of that. And the power of God to change a human being. What a great, great truth that is. My other favorite is Manasseh. We were just studying about him in the Bible class in the Christian school. And, you know, he is the son of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah, great godly man. Manasseh, the worst of all the kings of Judah. And that's saying something. They had some bad ones. But he was the worst. And God calls him on. He ends up thrown into a cell, the kingdom overrun. And then in the cell, he cries out to God, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I was so foolish. And the Lord opens a cell door, puts him all the way back on his throne, restores his position, and he was a different man. And who did that? A power of God. Praise the Lord for the power of God. And so the Lord provides in that way for us to see his power. Look in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7. Oh, that's right where we are. So you can just pull your ribbon. And over in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7, there is another way in which God reveals his power. He does it in creation. He does it in judgment. He judges nations. He judges individuals. He strikes them down. God is. The Bible says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. You'd be wise. Number three, he does it in salvation, where you can see lives change, and God takes them and from the inside out changes them. And then sometimes he shows his power in our great needs. Ephesians 3 and verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints, it is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so it is through the limitations that we have. Ephesians 1 and verse 19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And it is Paul who in 2 Corinthians, remember over there in chapter 12, he starts talking about all the problems that he's got, how he asked God to take away the thorn in the flesh. And then he says in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so God reveals his power in my weakness. And that's where he prepares my heart to know his power. Look at C on number one there. We're on the home stretch now. I have to get number two and on to the end here. C, we've got the person of God. What a gracious God that he is. How willing he is. Down in verse 20, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us and the goodness of God. He's able to do what we ask. He's able to do what we think. I love that one. Would you go over to Isaiah 65 and verse 24? If you don't want a blessing, don't go over there, all right? But if you want a blessing, go to Isaiah 65 and verse 24. I always love this. Have you ever experienced this where you haven't actually officially prayed about a thing? I mean, when you officially pray, get down on your knees and you cry out to God, or maybe you pull the car over on the side of the road and you bow your head and you ask the Lord for something. You haven't officially, as you think of it, gotten into the presence of God, into his throne room of grace and asked for help. But the Lord answered your thoughts. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but I've had that happen. I've experienced it on more than one occasion where I was just thinking about, well, you know, I need to be praying for Joe because Joe was going through this, and I didn't even form a prayer. And the Lord says in Isaiah 65, verse 24, I'm so powerful that I can take your thoughts and answer them. It says, And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The Lord doesn't have to have necessarily my official, again, get down here and get to pray in here, get in my prayer position, get my prayer list out. Why, even as I just meditate and think about the needs of brothers and sisters in Christ, the needs of my country, the needs of our missionaries, our church family, why, the Lord hears. That's an amazing thing. He is so powerful that He is willing, it says, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What a wonderful God. But there are places, and that's the context. And I want you to get this in context one more time. Because probably if we measured our prayer lives, I would say about 95% of our prayer life involves tires, washing machines, houses, cars. You know, there's nothing wrong. We have physical needs. And God is not offended when I bring those needs before Him and say, but you know, if most of my prayer life is involved in tires and cars and houses and vacations, Lord, let us get the vacation time we want. And, you know, I'm missing it. Because, let me point out the context of all of this. It says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding above it all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, God says, I've got the power. And I intend to do more than you ask. In fact, you don't even have to ask. I know your thoughts. And as it begins to burden you and you begin to think about those things, I can take your thoughts and I can answer those things. But the whole thing, immediately, the human being starts thinking, oh man, I wish I'd asked for Michelins. You know, why did I ask for Goodyear? I should have asked for Michelins. The Lord provided Goodyear. And I, you know, Lord, Lexus. Lord, I need a Lexus this year. But the context is chapter 3 and verse 16. And the prayer request of the Apostle Paul, let me just point them out just real quickly, down in verse 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. All right, number one is I pray for the spiritual lives of those that I love and those I go to church with, those I minister to. God is able to do abundantly above and beyond what I could ask or even think. As I think, oh Lord, that they would learn to be faithful in church. Oh God, would You help them to, Lord, they need this or they need that. And verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He prayed for them to deepen their faith, that the Lord would not be grieved or quenched, but He would dwell securely there. He's in their heart. I mean, He's secure in their heart. But you understand, to be at home, to not be grieved or quenched by their attitude, which says, I don't trust You. I'm going to keep my eye on You because I don't know that You can provide for me. I don't know if You can keep me secure. And so the Lord is grieved and quenched, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. All right, that I can, through the Lord, I can put my roots deep into that water that flows underground and pull in knowledge and assurances of the love of God daily. I'm going to need to do that if I'm going to survive. Got to have deep roots in the right things. That's a prayer. And the Lord is able to answer abundantly above, beyond what I can ask or even to think. And the inner man, faith, love of God, the fullness of God, that be able to do His will. And notice verse 21, the last part here, it's about His glory. This whole thing is not about me coming out smelling like a rose and everybody saying, wow, what a great Christian you are, just like Job. Or it's not about that at all. Why, it's about the glory of God. And it says, in the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ, verse 21, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And so I got to take it into context here. And here's a great promise, a problem here as we close. If you'll go over to Isaiah 55 and verse number 6, and Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near. And Jeremiah 29, 11 and 12. That's just a few pages over. Let me go over there and read Jeremiah 29, 11 and 12. It says, For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And in verse 12 he says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. Hey, there's a little problem here in my life right now if I'm a normal believer. And it is that I have put incredible limits on the power of God that is working in me. I heard someone illustrate it this way one time. He said, you know, you could put your house on the Niagara River and watch that raging water go over there and down the falls. And I don't know if you saw where 102-year-old barge, big storm up that way, and it broke loose. It's been there for like 100 years, and it's moved down a ways. They're not sure if it's going to go over on down over the falls or if it's just going to be planted there for another 100 years. They don't know. But that powerful river, it doesn't do you any good until you put a mill and harness that water, or some type of electrical plant and harness the power of that water. And so here's the power of God every day that could change my country, change my church, change my life, change my family, change my marriage. But I never harness into any of that power. I just say, wow, look at that river go. That's amazing. I know it's there and it's powerful, but I kind of miss it. Got to have the power of God. That's the great issue today, isn't it? We're operating all kinds of things that we're doing for God that are good and wise and sound, but we just don't have any power. You've probably heard this illustration before, but I'm going to tell it again. All right, my wife and I, many years ago, we were there in Tennessee, and we started having dryer problems. I asked around just a little bit, and one of the fellows said, you know what, there's a sensor on the dryer drum. And he said, it sounds like what the problem is. It's not that expensive. And this was pre-YouTube, you know. And so anyway, just had to kind of take it off and unhook it, take it down, get the part, come back. What it was is it was running, but it wouldn't heat up. And the other thing is that maybe like the element or something and it was going bad. We were just starting with the small stuff and working up, you know. And when that didn't fix it, I thought, okay, I've got this much invested. I probably need to call someone. There's a guy, pretty reasonable. And he came out to the house and he looked at it and he said, here's your problem. He pushed the cord all the way into the wall. It was enough power to run the drum and for the buzzer, but it wasn't enough power to heat the thing up. And once he did that, it lasted for another 10 years. But anyway, the problem that we have is we haven't got the plug all the way into the way God works. The drum is running, and we're just running all over the place doing all kinds of good things that we think are good, but we just lack the power of God, and it's not there. You know, there was a lady, she was a widow, and Elisha had a school of the prophets. It was an early Bible college, and these men would come there to train to be men of God, and he was married, had children, and apparently he ran up a school debt because when he passed away, his wife hurriedly called for Elijah, help, help, they've come. They had come to take everything they had and to take her two sons and take them into slavery, you know, sell them into slavery in order to cover the man's debts. And so she, what do I do? And Elijah said, what do you have? He said, the only thing I have left is just a thing of oil. And he said, go borrow all the pots, you know, anything that old oil you go borrow. I mean, she had no idea what they were going to do, but they went out there and they borrowed from neighbors all kinds of stuff. And then when he got there, he said, all right, start pouring the oil. And so they would pour it and, well, it filled that one up and there's still oil in there. They cook another one. They poured it in there and it's still in there. And they poured it in there. And eventually, every single jar, every single pot, everything they had that would hold oil, they had filled with oil. And Elisha said, it should be enough. Go take that oil, sell it, and take care of those debts and take care of your family. And so she did that. And I remember when Bill Pitzenbarger was here. And how many of you remember Brother Bill? All right, Brother Evangelist Bill Pitzenbarger, great evangelist. And I remember him telling about that, and he said something that has stuck with me all these years. He said, "I imagine when they filled the last pot, they must have thought, why didn't we get more? Why did we pull up so short? Why didn't we get more pots? Well, there would be so much more oil." And you know what? Our vision of the power of God has gotten very small. And we haven't got a lot of pots that God is overflowing with the blessing of the power of His Holy Spirit. And what does the Lord say as we close? Let's go back, read it one last time, Ephesians 3. You know what He says? Ask big. You know, Abraham and Sarah, the Lord, I know He said that He was going to give us a natural born heir, but here we are, the age we are, and it's impossible for Him to do that. You're too old, I'm too old. We best take Hagar. We learned how to do that when we disobeyed God and went down into Egypt. We learned that's how the other half lives. They give their handmaidens as concubines, and that's how they raise up children when the wife can't have children. So let's do it like the others do it. And so that's what they did and created terrible problems that today are unfolding in Iran, where they are supposedly reestablishing their nuclear program. And who knows, we may be moving toward Armageddon right over there. And, you know, if the Lord came today, that'd just be 7 years from now. That's not a long time. So things are happening all around us. I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail, but someone the other day said, hey, you know, they're teaching fascism in the colleges and the universities of this land. We got to stop it. And they're right. We have all these young people that think socialism would be cool. You know, they don't know anything about communist Russia. You know, they don't know what life is like. They deny Venezuela. Oh, it wouldn't be like Venezuela. It'd be a much better socialism. But you know what's happening? They're being groomed for the Antichrist, who will rule over the world. Everyone will be required to give up their freedoms and take his mark, or you won't buy or sell. And their minds and hearts are being groomed. We're living in the last days. How we need the power of God. And He says this. He says, ask big. And He says, ask me now and claim my power. I love to send it. It says in Ephesians 3:20, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Again, He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think, even our brains in private, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Let's pray, heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder tonight if you might do something a little different. You know, it's great to hear a message on, hey, the power that worketh in us, God's power, confidence in it, the context. And it's another thing to access that power. It's another thing to ask something big and to ask something now. And I know we could just have an invitation. We sure want to invite folks to come to Christ if they're here without Jesus. We have people saved from time to time on Wednesday night, and that's a blessing. We have a hook in the water down here in Patch Club and out in the Activity Center and here, and we do see folks saved, and I'm thankful for that on Wednesday nights. But listen, tonight, I wonder if you'd use these front pews and these front steps. And maybe it's hard for you to kneel. You could just stand. But just gather around that place. It's not that it's different. You could do this sitting in your pew, but there is something about moving, isn't it? And kneeling, crying out to God there in private at an old-fashioned altar and saying, God, I'm asking something big tonight. And you say that you are able to do things as He has said so wonderfully here. We read it again. Now to Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able to do big things, But a lot of folks have not collected many pots lately, and the plug is not all the way in. I wonder if we just ask for some big things. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell this crowd. But tell the Lord, Lord, I'd love to see this loved one saved. God, this is a major problem. I don't know what to do. God, help me. You know, we might just start something tonight. We might push that plug all the way in for that dryer. And will you come? I tell you what, let's just right now, won't you come and join me here? I'm going to kneel up here and listen, I'm not going to ask you to tell me, and I don't have to tell you, but I'm going to ask God for something big, and I appreciate you doing the same thing. If you can't kneel, then you can just stand, and in just a minute, I'll lead us, and maybe we'll close with our quick invitation for those that may need Christ in this place. Lord, I'm so thankful that you are a big God. You fill not just this earth and this little universe that we're a part, but all of the heavens. You're so much bigger and greater than we could ever imagine. We try to fit you in our ideas, and we're like a little child trying to figure out life, and we just can't do it. I'm so thankful that you are a God of mighty power, and how you love to show that power. And Lord, thank you for these that have come, and Lord, are laying out some big things and asking those things now. How you love to answer. Oh God, may we rejoice with one another in the soon days to come, when we have the joy of testifying of the big things that you have done. Lord, we pray that you might hear us and answer. We know that, Lord, we don't even have to get in the position of prayer just as we're driving along, just as we're meditating in our homes and thinking. You take our thoughts and you answer them even before we get into official prayer mode. And Lord, we're thankful for that. And we pray for what's represented here, souls saved, folks to be that are backslidden to be brought back into fellowship. Lord, for souls to be lives to be changed. I can only think of the big things that people are asking for healing, for different issues. How great you are, how you love to answer. God, may you hear an answer. We look forward to you revealing your power through God's people at Victory Baptist Church. In Jesus' name, amen.